heaven. Amen. And Jesus is what makes it heaven. Isn't it great? Thank the Lord for that. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. I'm going to have you to follow with me as I read two or three passage scriptures from the book of Psalms and one from Proverbs as we begin this morning. Psalms 33, and look at verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And boy, I thought when I was studying this week and thinking about that, I was thinking about John. And when folk come in and he says, I'm the Lord. And he said, I made the earth and everything in it. I made heaven. I created the stars and I know them all by name. Now, he was doing a part, but our God did that. The Lord Jesus Christ created everything. He made everything and spoke it by the word of his mouth. Verse 7, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he layeth up the depths in storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I'm telling you, he's an awesome God. And he does things quite often to remind us and our nation and this world that he's still in control. He is God, and he is in control of this universe. And we ought to stand in awe of him. We ought to fear him. And that word for us who are believers means to give reverential honor to him. We're not fearful of him like an abusive dad or somebody who would hurt us, but we just hold him in such awe and respect and honor because of who he is. And note what he says, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he layeth up the depth in storehouse. Turn over a little further in the book of Psalms, Psalms 135. Psalms 135, and look at this passage of scripture. David has been struck and is struck with the awesomeness of our God. In Psalms 135, look at verse 5, and listen to what he says in this regard. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our God is above all gods, little g. Whatsoever the Lord pleaseth, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in the deep places. He's in charge of everything. And he's done exactly what he pleased in heaven and in the earth and in the seas and in the deep places. Look a little further. Listen to David as he worships the Lord and gives us some truth about our wonderful God. In Psalms 147, and look at verse number 16. He says this, he giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. I remember the first year Regina and I were married. We lived up in Roanoke Rapids. And we were out at my mother's house, and we had one of those old-fashioned snows. How many of you remember the old-fashioned snows? I mean, when we had them, I mean, it was down by the fences in the back. It was waist-deep where it mounted up, and God sent a snow. Well, it was a fall, wintertime, of course, and the field out behind Mama's house had been plowed and turned over. All that was there had turned up, and you had the stubble and all of that out there, and it wasn't very attractive. But on the next morning after that snow, it looked like a blanket across there. I mean, as far as you could see, all the way to back of Mama's land, all the way down by the creek, across the river track, it was just one beautiful white surface. Now, you didn't see any of the discoloration of the soil. You didn't see all those old stubbles. And he said, listen, God sends that snow, and he said it's like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before the cold? He sendeth out his word, and he melteth them. And he causeth the wind to blow and the waters to flow. He's in charge of the wind and the water and the seas. He's in charge of all of that. Notice, if you will, please, now, keep on from the book of to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 30. And let me read one verse there, and I'll pray, and I want to bring you a message. He's in charge of all of that. And in Proverbs chapter number 30, look at verse number 4, if you will, please, and listen. Who hath ascended into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist. Now, this is what is a very like a rhetorical question. He's not asking, is there any man who's ever done this? He's calling our attention to somebody who has done this, somebody who's ascended into heaven, somebody who's descended from heaven, somebody who can hold the wind in their fist. Yeah, can you hold wind in your fist? He said, I know somebody can. He said, I know somebody that can hold the wind in his fist, who hath bound the waters in a garment. I mean, he can just pick it up. The Bible talks about certain people being unstable as water. You can't carry water in your hand. You can't carry water just in the open air. Just go out and get a handful of water like you do hay. But he said, I know somebody can hold it up as if it was in a garment. I know somebody can do that. And he said, who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being here. Thank you again, our Father, for the awesome ministry of Judgment House. Thank you for Tim and Wendy and God for preparing them and having them here and allowing them to come and minister and be a part of this work. Thank you, our Father, for their leadership. And God, for all that you use them to do, thank you for the coordination of all of the folk and people who helped in every phase of the ministry. Our Father, for the hundreds of lives that were touched. Our Father, for the many who got saved. Our Father, for the hundreds who left here under conviction. And God, you spoke to the hearts of Christians and lost people alike and challenged us to be a better witness and go tell others about Christ. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd bless those people this morning. Some are in churches scattered all over this country. Lord, distances away from this city. And our Father, there are many, our Father, who maybe didn't get to church this morning, but God, I pray you'd make the truths they heard and saw very real to them then. And Father, I ask God your blessing this morning. Our Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now will deal with my heart. Give me that anointing that'll make the difference. I pray that God, as David said, that all the earth would fear the Lord and that we'd stand in awe of him. And that, Lord, we trust you and know that you are our shield and our protector. And God, that you've got everything well in hand. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Not many days ago, down in the tropics, there was a little tropical depression. And over a period of time, it began to grow and grow and grow. And then it became a tropical storm and then a Category 1 hurricane. And they called it Sandy. It came up through the Caribbean islands and did great devastation there and came on up and up our coastline. Every one of our states on the eastern seaboard from Florida to New York was affected by Sandy. That little tropical depression that started perhaps no larger than this auditorium or even smaller came and developed as large as the state of Texas. And it came up the coast and all the devastation it brought with him. I looked at a few figures and facts, and there may be some updates that I'm not aware of, but this storm brought with it great winds, turbulent seas, flooding, and rain throughout. It even created snow and blizzards up in West Virginia, in our mountains, and in Northern Virginia as well. And the awesomeness of this storm has been talked about, broadcast over the news, and for several days it was on the news, and that's about all you could get as you listened to the stories and you saw the thing, and you, like me, probably looked with dismay one day. After the hurricane had gone up through New Jersey, the commentator was standing on the seashore. There were seagulls there. The sea looked serene, and it was a beautiful sunrise. And then he panned across what used to be Atlantic, all of that devastation there, the amusement park and all of that, and then aerial photographs. A whole community, over 100 homes burned. What an awesome thing was generated by this massive storm. Over 19,000, almost 20,000 airline flights were canceled. There were 8.5 million losses of power. Many of those have not had it restored yet. In America, the last total that I had, 96 people in America died. 69 died in the Caribbean islands because of this storm of wind and rain. Over $2 billion in losses have been calculated, and that's just the beginning of the devastation of Sandy. And I want to make a statement that's going to shock you. That's just a little wind and a little rain. That's just a little wind and a little rain. There were no nuclear weapons involved in that. Most of you sit on your porch in the fall of the year and you welcome that breeze that blows across and you see the flowers tumbling across your yard. Little wind and a little rain. My dear friend, God is in control of the wind and the rain. There were no ballistic missiles used, no conventional weapons used in all of that destruction. There were no high-tech computers or anything that was used that we would call technology and modernization today. It's just plain old wind and a little water. God's in control. Sometimes God just shows himself to be God. And that storm was greatly anticipated. It was broadcast, and it could be anticipated, but it could not be negated. It could be studied, but it could not be stopped. With all of our technology, with all our abilities, we were absolutely helpless to do anything other than gather water or pack up and leave if you had any sense and get out of the path of it, because when God turned it loose, there was nothing man could do. That's our God. I want to remind you that He is an awesome God. He is in control of this world. He's in control of this universe. I've read it to you over and over again. That was just a little water. You say, well, Brother Billy, that was an awful storm. So much water. And you know, I did a little study, and please forgive me if I make a mistake. I'm not a geologist or a climatologist or whatever it might be, but I just tried to pull a few things and gather some things together hurriedly that help us to understand the concept of just a little water and a little rain in Sandy and how it devastated our nation. For instance, as I began to study and look a little bit about water, I was reminded that over 70% of the surface of this world is covered by water. By water. I remember when I went to the church in Valdosta, Georgia, to pastor. And it was right there in the Escambia Bay, the Escambia River, and then the Gulf Coast is over there and all the fishing all around there. And we talked with the deacons, and they went through questions and back into and everything. And then one of them said, well, preacher, what do you feel about fishing? And I said, well, the Bible says, and scientists say, that two-thirds of the earth is covered with water. And I believe you ought to spend two-thirds of your time fishing. And they all like to die laughing. But some of them agreed with me. But, you know, two-thirds of this earth is covered with water. 90% of that water, or 96% of that water, is salt water. It's in the oceans. We have water vapor in the air that we see, and it comes down as rain. There are rivers, lakes, and then the glaciers. When we went to the Philippines, we'd leave out from Detroit or from New York, fly up over Canada, fly all up through there, and then we'd go across Alaska, and you could see all those great glaciers. I mean, even at nighttime, you'd see them glowing in the moonlight. Boy, what an awesome thing to see all those glaciers. They are water frozen by the Lord. He says he causes the frost and all those things. And then there's not only those glaciers, not only that, but there's water under the earth. Inside of our earth, there's water. And those of us who still have wells know well how wonderful that water is to draw out from the depths of the rock, water in there. And Sandy was just a little bit of water, just a little bit of water compared to the water in the world. And then every living creature has water in it. And so there's water everywhere. Some of these figures blow my mind, and I don't want to give you a lot of facts and figures because it won't mean much to you, but I'm wanting you to see just a little water, what God did with just a little wind and just a little water. There are in this world 332,500,000 cubic miles of water. Now, a cube is this way, that way, and that way, like an ice cube. And in this world, there are over 332 million cubic miles of water. If you made all the water in the world into a great big ball, the diameter of that ball would be 860 miles across. Sandy was just a little water and a little wind. But look what God did with a little water and a little wind. The fresh water on this world is calculated to be 2,550,000 cubic miles. Up in the air, there are 3,100 cubic miles, a cubic mile, miles 5,280 feet, and there are 3,100 cubic miles of water just hanging in the air. And you say, well, Brother Billy, what about that? What's that mean? I want you to understand the awesome power of water. I was going to bring me a water bottle. Right now, I'm wishing I had. And my mouth's dry now. But I love water. I drink water all the time. Doctors taught me you ought to drink water. That's mostly what I drink. I used to drink tea all the time, and I drink some of it now. But water is an awesome thing. But I want you to understand the power behind it. You bathe in it. You wash your hands in it. Wash your car with it. Kids play in it. Play in the water sprinkler. But we don't ever think about the awesome power of God and the water and how it's related to God. Of these 332 million cubic miles of water. I looked it up, and I don't know why, Mitchell. I was thinking a gallon of water weighed about 7, but actually, according to Google, I'm not sure who he is, but he is a smart fella. He is. Somebody said you ought to ask Google, so I did. And here's what he said. He said water weighs 8.34 pounds. Water weighs 8, and a cubic foot of water, a cubic foot, that's 12 inches. And if it's a cubic foot of water, it weighs 62 pounds. Now, this is the truth of my hand up. My calculator wouldn't do what I wanted to do. Because as I was looking at this, up in the air, hanging up in the air, there are 3,100 cubic miles of water hanging up there. Comes down in rain. Comes down in snow, but it's just hanging up in the atmosphere around our world. There are 3,120 cubic miles of that. A cubic foot weighs 62 pounds. Well, I tried to calculate. I should have got Bob Luke to do this for me. He's the mathematician. But my calculator ran out of spaces for the numbers. If you take and you calculate that, I calculated that the poundage of the water that's hanging in the air. Now, listen to this, and this is worse than Obama's debt. Listen to this, and that's not political, it's just a statement. It's the truth. I hope I can read this. There's 1,675,000,000 pounds of water in the air around this world. And now I know you can't get your mind around that. I'm reading on paper and I can't get my mind around it. You think about the awesomeness of that. You think about that. The water that's hanging in the air and the poundage of it. How many of you grabbed a 5-gallon bucket of water lately and run around the house with it? A 5-gallon bucket of water is heavy. I mean, it's heavy. We used to have to water tomatoes. We didn't have an irrigation system. So when Daddy had produce, when they first planted them plants, we had to water every one of them by hand with a can, soup can, and a 5-gallon bucket. I don't have any bones on the side of my ankles trying to tote that 5-gallon bucket and beating on my ankle, a little boy, and I hauled it up and down through there and beating on that. But you think about that water, the weight of that water. And that just kind of blew my mind. I remembered that Brother Mitchell some time ago had kind of calculated some things and something he was doing in Sunday school preaching. I sure do thank you, Charles, for that. It's hard for me to drink and drive, let alone preach and drink, but I'm going to do it now. Thank you, Charles. Boy, that was good. I wish y'all had some of that. You can't hardly beat water. How many of you know that you can't quench thirst with anything but water? Water will do it. Water do it. Tea make you thirsty. But that water's something else. But I got Mitchell calculated. Let's get these figures back down where we can understand. You can't understand $14 trillion in debt, I know. And you can't understand what I was just telling you about quadrillion, 625 billion pounds of water hanging in the air. That just blows my mind. Blows my mind. But Mitchell figured this up one time, and I just used part of it, Mitchell, and I hope I got it right. Mitchell said, if you own an acre of land and it rained 1.6 inches, not even just a little bit over an inch and a half. You got an inch and a half of rain, which you'd be doing a rain dance and tickled to death if you did. With just 1.6 inches of rain on 1 acre. That calculates to be 44,100 gallons of water. Now, you got an acre. Was it 220? All the real estate people, 220 by 220? Is that an acre? 210 by 210. All right. And so if it rains 1.6 inches on your property, that means that 44,100 gallons of water had to fall on your property to put 1.6 inches on it. Well, think about this. You know, calculated the weight of water like I did a while ago. That's 367 thousand pounds of water. I just wondered if God really, really got mad with us and just pulled the plug on it and dropped that water all the way to circling this whole universe, if he just opened it all at one time, you'd look at Sandy and say, that was just a little water and just a little wind if he did that again. You know, he did that one time. You know what the Bible said? He opened the windows of heaven and he opened the fountains of the deep. All that water pressurized under there. And people think, well, it just kind of streamed. No, no. When he pulled the plug on that under there, it was like a fire hose. It blew the top off of mountains. It just erupted all around the world. And those quadrillion pounds of water, it crushed. And you know what the Bible said? It destroyed everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Wow. If you just took the fresh water and you took all of the fresh water and put it in a pile on top of our 48 continuous states, we'll leave out Alaska and Hawaii, but just the 48 contingent states here. If you just took the fresh water and dumped it on us, it would be 107 miles deep over this entire United States. Sandy was just a little water. And I know who controls the tap. He's in control. Sandy was just a little water and a little wind. Oh, listen, you think about it. I was talking a while ago about the water in our bodies. 70% of our bodies is water. First mention of water is in the book of Genesis. Has to do with creation. And the last mention of is in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 7. And he says, let everyone's thirst come and take of the water of life freely. I wonder why he compared salvation to the water of life. Because it's absolutely essential. God has allowed me over the years, and I need to do it some more, to do some fasting. On one occasion, I went 2 weeks. One occasion, I went 3 weeks. There's one occasion that I went 40 days without food. You could live 40 days without food, but you can't live that long without water. It's absolutely essential that you have water. You must have it. And that water God made for us, it's already there, already prepared it for us. It is the essential of life. Sandy was just a little bit of water and a little bit of wind. Let me share something else with you. Now, hang on with me. I got my watch on. But a little water and a little wind. You ever thought about where wind comes from? It can be explained scientifically. God made it. When he made the world, he made it in such a way that you can see the water, you can see the planets, but you cannot see the air. He compared the air to the Holy Ghost. And he says, it bloweth where it listeth. Holy Spirit of God moves where he wants to. And he said, insofar as the wind is concerned, you can hear it and you can see it effects, but you can't tell what it's doing or which way it's going to go. It bloweth where it listeth. You can't see it. God has created. Now, technically, the wind is created when The air is heated by the radiation of the sun, and hot air rises, and cold air falls. When you get that action, it creates wind. And across and around this world, did you know that it's always blowing? Sandy was just a little wind. There's what's called the global jet streams. There's a polar jet stream. And when you watch Greg Fischel or whoever you watch, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, and he said, now, on Thursday, it's going to be cold. Why is it going to get cold on Thursday? He said, if you watch, look here, how the jet stream dips down, and it's going to pull that cold air out of the north. You know, the jet stream is somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 miles an hour continually. How many of you ever been a 200-mile-an-hour hurricane? None of you. But that thing has been doing that ever since he created the world. And then there are other jet streams. Some of them are called Western, or some of them called other, a Southern jet stream. But there are several of those. They're like rivers of air that go around, rivers of wind continually moving around there. God created it that way. He made it in a wonderful way. You know, Sandy was just a little wind, just a little wind. There are regional winds. There are cyclones, tropical storms, hurricanes. All of them have to do with wind. Hurricanes are formed in the warm waters of the tropics because the process of evaporation and a rapid rise of that moisture into the atmosphere heats the earth, begins to get it to swirl, and then the rotation of the earth adds to that, and God sends that wind, sends a hurricane. It happens on local, insofar as what we call violent thunderstorms. It happens in tornadoes, those type of things. And it all has to do with wind. And God made it. It's out there. And did you know that Sandy was just a little bit of wind? I just wonder what would happen if God really, really got mad with us and would let that jet stream, it's several hundred miles in the air. But I wonder if God would just pull the plug on that thing and let that jet stream that's been blowing ever since creation fall down. And when you see it bringing in certain times of the year, it brings in a warm air. Sometimes it brings in that cold air. But I wonder if God really got mad with us one time and pulled the plug on that and let that jet stream fall flat on the ground and blow a 200-mile-an-hour wind across America. I tell you what happened. We'd be out of here. We'd be gone. Don't have to have any nuclear weapons. Doesn't have to have any, you know, something. Hey, all you got to do is use a little bit of wind. And you can't hold it in your fist, but he can hold it in his fist. Just a little wind. No explosions. No dramatic booms and all those things. Just wind. Just wind blowing across the landscape. God could do that. He could do it in a heartbeat. Why did it make wind after all? Well, the wind is a conveyance of cool and warm air. How many of you have ever sat around in summertime and just wished for a cool breeze? And God would let a little cloud come by, and you see the clouds coming. By the way, you know how those clouds are coming? It's wind. God's pushing those clouds over you with wind. And then what he does is he turns a little bit of that moisture loose, and it comes down through the atmosphere, and that warm air is cooled. And the wind that's pushing the clouds blows through that rain and through that moisture, and it's like an air conditioner. Hallelujah. You know what he did for the children of Israel? He put a pillar of cloud over them in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. You know what they had? They had central heating and cooling. Absolutely. And it was a heat pump. People think, boy, this is the best thing you've ever heard of. It uses outside air. It's called a heat pump. God already done that a long time ago. God sent the breeze. God sent the wind. Sandy was just a little bit of wind. God's got a lot of it. God could send it, and he's able to do that. But listen, he gave it to us to be a blessing. He gave it to us to be a blessing. Think about pollination. Thank God for bees. And sometimes they say things not produced because you don't have enough bees. But that's not God's only way of pollination. How many of you have ever had an allergy? You say, it's the pollen. Why is all that pollen flying around anyhow? It's finding somewhere to go to. God's taking pollen from here and putting it over here in this other group of plants of the same nature, and he's pollinating it to make fruit. God uses the wind to cause fruit to grow. No wonder he compared the Holy Ghost of God to wind, because without the wind, you won't have any growth. You won't see any fruit. You must have the Holy Ghost of God to do that. And God has the wind. Oh, he's got a lot of it throughout the Bible. You ought to go through the Bible sometime and study about all the winds that came and the blessings of wind. Wind, God used it to disperse pollution. I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever burned anything at the house? I mean, you were cooking toast and you burned it, or you were cooking something else and you burned it. I know exactly the first thing you did. I started to say heist it. How many of you know, I told you heisted a window, you know what I was talking about. I didn't think you were, not many of you, Mitchell did. But if you go raise that window and you raise the front door, and you know what you want? You want some air to blow through that house, because it's God's way of eliminating pollution. I have watched them as they had the great forest fires out in California, and I heard them say this on the news, and I said, you'll just play that to everybody in America. And they fought, and firefighters would give out, everybody else would give out, and there's great clouds of smoke. And here's what they said: what we really need is some rain to come and put the fire out, and some wind to move this cloud away. Now, I'm glad that God, the Holy Ghost, is like wind, and when the clouds are in your life, he can come blow it away. Thank God for that. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I wasn't feeling too good when I got here, but I'm feeling pretty good now. That wind blowing, he got a lot of wind. And look what he did. Just a little wind through the Caribbean islands and up our east coast. He's got a lot of wind. And he uses it to purify and to get that out, smog and fire and smoke. And then he uses he created the winds for trade and travel. They're what's called trade winds. Any of you heard that phrase? Trade winds. Way hundreds of years ago, sailors learned there were trade winds. There were certain winds that blew. They'd blow a certain way all the time. And what they do, they navigate to where they could get into those routes where the trade winds were at. And they knew they could sail safely. Well, that's not old fogey. They still do that now. If you've ever been to Europe, you've ever been to Germany, You can leave from New York and you can get to Germany going. You can go to Germany at least an hour to hour and a half quicker than you can come back. You know why? Because of the jet stream. Because they hit that airstream going out of what? They hitch a ride on the west blow of that jet stream. But when they're coming back, they have to fight it. How many of you know that if you go the way the Holy Ghost is going, it's a little easier? Say amen. I mean, if you just go the way God's going, if you let the Holy Spirit of God lead you, God's got a lot of wind, and he can do it. He can create all things. Water, wind. He created wind for the purpose of evaporation. Heat will radiate, and water will evaporate. But if you've got heat and wind, how many of you know that if you've got a hot wind blowing, your plants in the yard dry out quick because of evaporation? He aids in evaporation. The water comes down and water goes back up. And he uses that to continually replenish the earth with fresh water and good water for us to drink. He's a great God. He also used it, I mentioned a while ago, for the distribution of rain. That's how he does it. Rain comes to us on winds. He sends the wind and pushes in those clouds, and he gives us that rain and blesses us with rain and so many other things. And then air that he gives us. That movement of the air is for the good of mankind. We have to have oxygen. We have to have water. We have to have oxygen. And he is continually replenishing that air. Some of us have a CPAP machine. How many of you got one? Confess it right now. You got a CPAP machine. Some of you got one for your dog. I know you have, because they're trying to sell them to everybody. They hook it up to children. But you know all it is? Boy, I heard people talk about CPAP. My doctor said you got to have a CPAP. You have sleep apnea and all this, and all your heart quits beating and all this stuff. So they put me on one when I was in the hospital and had no choice. I couldn't fight back, but they put me on when I was in the hospital. And you know what it is? It's wind. You pull that thing off your nose, boy, it just blows like a hurricane. It's wind. But without it, you die. Without that wind, you die. One of the chronic killers of all mankind ever since sin entered the world has been pneumonia. Person gets some age on them, they can have a lot of things wrong with them, but they say this, if they ever really get a bad case of pneumonia, they'll die if the antibiotics are not effective. You know why? Because what pneumonia does is it affects your lungs to where you cannot absorb oxygen. The air doesn't get to you. You got to have that air. God made wind. God made air for the benefit of man. You've got to have it or you'll die. If you don't have the Holy Ghost of God flowing in your life, you'll die spiritually. You must have that wind. Oh, listen, Sandy was just a little wind. God's got a lot of wind. He'll send it your way. You remember going through the Bible over and over again? The Bible said when God created the world, He separated the waters that were below and the waters that were beneath. And it says that He said He moved the waters back and the earth showed. And then the Bible says that when they got ready to come out of the bondage, the Bible said that when they came to the Red Sea, all the people said, "You brought us out here. Now we're going to die at the hand of Pharaoh. We'd rather go back there and be a slave." And God cried out to Moses, "God, what we're going to do?" He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know what He did? He said, "Moses, you go down here and you raise your rod." Now you read that passage very carefully. You'll find out that rod didn't have a thing in the world to do with that sea parting. You know what the Bible said? It said, God said, "Moses, you go raise that rod." He raised that rod. He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And the Bible said, and God sent an east wind. And it blew all night. And He opened a path in the Red Sea wide enough for 3 million Jews to go through. And the Bible said He not only opened the sea, but He dried the land with that wind. And they walked through, and they didn't get mud on their feet. Their wagons didn't bog down. Their chariots didn't bog down. They went across on dry, not mucky, not muddy, not a little bit wet. They walked on dry land because of the wind. God got a whole lot of wind. He's got enough wind to open up every Red Sea you come to, every problem you ever faced. He's got an answer for it. It's the minister of the Holy Spirit of God. God's got a lot of wind. And He said, "I'll open it up." And He did it for Moses. And then when they were wandering around that wilderness, they wanted some meat to eat. They were tired of eating manna, a bunch of Baptists. I mean, they were eating angel food. Nobody in this building has ever eaten manna. Nobody living has ever eaten manna. Nobody back to your grandma, great-grandma, none of them. They didn't eat manna. It was angel's food. God sent it down out of heaven, and they complained about it. Baptists are complaining about everything. How many of you know that? They complained about it. Well, I said, "We want some meat. We would like to have some meat." You know what God did? God sent them great big old fat quail. You know how they got there? The Bible said God sent a wind. He brought them meat on the wind. Can I tell you, my dear friend, you'll never understand the meat in this Bible without the wind of the Holy Ghost. You don't understand it intellectually. The wind has to blow. But when He blows, praise God, it makes a difference. I mean, when He comes, listen, Sandy, just a little wind. God's got a whole lot of wind. I mean, it's all around this world. If He just turned it loose, what devastation it could cause. But if He'd be pleased to find a group of people somewhere who do what I read to you earlier, who'd stand in awe of Him and trust Him and look to Him, He could send the wind of the Holy Ghost. He did on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind. And God sent that wind, and God blessed them with it. Oh, listen, He sent that wind and brought it in. During the time of the thing there with Pharaoh, the Bible said He sent a wind and He brought in locusts. And then Pharaoh had a false repentance and said, "I want to get rid of all them." But then he said this, God sent a wind and He took them all away. You know, God sent a wind to take away every problem you've got. God will send that wind. And they learned that. Now, take your Bible, turn over, and I'm a little bit over, but see, I was a little early last week, and my wife said, "You done good." But notice, if you will, in chapter number 4, I'm through, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to show you something. In Mark chapter 4, look at verse 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 41. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Can I tell you something? That man has not changed. The wind still obeys him. The sea still obeys him. What manner of man is that? Can I say something to you that Sandy ought to remind us of? It ought to remind us of our ingratitude for the goodness of God. America has forgotten the goodness of God. All those winds that God sends, those warm winds, those cooling winds at certain time. But if we turn our back on God, that's meant to be a blessing to man and to all of his creation, he can use in judgment. It ought to remind us of our ingratitude to God for the water that we drink. I don't know if you've ever run out of, we got a well over there, it's got a level on it. If it ever gets to that point, we run out of water. And we've already done it once, twice maybe this year. Had to wait a while. I can get it cranked back up, but I've got to get more water in there. You don't appreciate it as much as when you got it as you do when you don't have it. We don't appreciate the wind. We don't appreciate the water. And God said, if you don't appreciate it, I'll use it to bring judgment on you. I'll use it to get your attention, to remind you who I am. I control the wind, and I control the water. It has to do with our disrespect of God. They disrespect God. Mankind has turned their back on the holy God. He's the God who controls the wind and the seas, the water, just very basic things. And we've disregarded him. We've turned our back on him. We've not honored him and given him thanks for it and praise God for it. And then men and women, boys and girls, have rejected this God. Who is this man that controls the wind and the seas? I read you in the book of Psalms and in Proverbs. Who is it that can hold the wind in his fist and send the water and rain? Who can do that? And do you know him? And then this astounding question in an Old Testament reference. Do you know his son? Did you get that when I read that a while ago? Do you know his son? Well, I thought that was just the New Testament. No, those who knew him in the Old Testament knew something about his son that was coming. Jesus Christ, do you know him? Do you know the Lord who controls the wind and the rain? I'm telling you right now, he can get your attention. And what he's created to bless you, he can use to judge you. He's an awesome God. You ought to thank God. I heard somebody today in the grocery store say this, "Well, we dodged a bullet." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. He didn't aim it at you. He don't miss. And no getting out of his way. You can't run and hide. If he unleashes it on you, he don't miss. He's in control of everything. I want to ask you a question. Do you stand in awe of him? Do you reverence him? And he said this, "Those who reverence me and honor me and trust me, I'll be a shield to them. I will protect them." God's a great God. Does that mean we won't have any hurricanes? No. Mean we won't have any storms? No. You read through it. Paul was in storms often, literal storms. Disciples were in storms often, literal storms. But he came walking to them on the water. And he kept Paul. And he said, "Paul, this whole ship's going to be lost. But their lives would not be lost. You just trust me and you tell them to trust me." And God kept his word. You know what? God could send a storm tomorrow and take away everything that you treasure. But he'd still keep you if you'll trust him. I want us to bow together for prayer. Just a little wind and a little rain. When you look at it, in respect of what God is and who God is and what God's got, what we consider to be the storm of the ages or the perfect storm or the most horrific hurricane ever, that's nothing compared to what God can do. He's an awesome God. Can we turn the tables just a little bit? I walked around in Judgment House this week. I didn't do anything to get ready. Didn't have any way in presentation. Didn't have any way in the construction of it. But I did get to walk around and be a prayer walking. And Tim let me do that. And he let me do anything I wanted to do with it. But I just, I walked around. And I went through, I think, four times. And every time, I said, God, this is awesome. God, it's so awesome to see how you've using all these people, the children and adults. This is the way it ought to be. But I'm reminded when I think about Sandy, that's just a little wind and just a little rain. And Judgment House is just a little wind and a little rain compared to what God can do. I mean, He's an awesome God. And we ought to thank God for everything He's done and what He's doing, but we ought to just always keep in mind that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we're able to ask or think. He's able.